today on Real Radio.
Listen, we raised our hands. We want to go to heaven. We want to be in heaven. Here's the beautiful thing about that. The fact is that God wants you in heaven more than you want to be there. There is great truth in saying that you and I have no idea what we're missing when we talk about heaven.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1, continues a series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences, and in this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. We often use the word heaven to describe things that are beyond wonderful or of exceptional beauty or maybe even incredible delight. And to be in heaven is to say that we're in a state of bliss or nirvana. But what has God said about heaven? You know, the Bible speaks of heaven over 1,000 times. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that there are three distinct definitions we can use to describe heaven: the here, the up there, and the out of here. The here heaven is the heaven of the here and now, which is our atmosphere. The up there heaven is our celestial heaven or outer space, which is the sun, the moon, and the stars. And the out of here, or third heaven, is the dwelling place of God. And now, in his lesson called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Father, give us ears to hear what your precious Spirit would teach us today. Father, if the hearing of this message, there's anyone that does not have eternity embossed in their hearts, that they have no knowledge of Jesus Christ as Messiah, Savior, that they have no deep and firm assurance of their salvation, that today, Lord God, that the very delights, the considerations, the conversation that we enjoy today would become theirs, that, Lord, your Spirit would draw not only us who are believers today closer to you, but anyone who might be without, that today would be the day that they would decide to come with us, we hope someday soon, to heaven. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated, church, and we'll embark today on Who Told You About Heaven. And when you hear the word heaven, I'm curious what might come to your mind. The word heaven is described by us as humans in very many differing ways. We might say, oh, the meal was heaven. Or what was that thing like? Oh, it was like heaven. We might dive into a banana split and then make the comment, this is heaven. What do we mean by that? What are we saying when we say such things? We're trying to express to the listener something of sheer delight, of something of great pleasure. We try to articulate the attributes of something wonderful as being worthy of heaven. And so we employ that. But better yet, listen, the Bible, when we look up the word heaven in the Bible, it is mentioned 327 times in the Old Testament. 327 times heaven is mentioned in the Old Testament, 255 times in the New. So the Old Testament, 327, Old Testament, 255, that's just the word heaven. And so that makes 582 times the word heaven is mentioned in the entire Bible. But more than that, heaven is either spoken of or referred to in the Bible, listen everybody, more than 1,000 times. And I want to kind of brag about my God regarding that claim, regarding that bit of data. The Bible is a book that describes the great need of you and I getting to heaven. And then the Bible tells us how to get there. Isn't it amazing that God dwells in heaven? And it's the God of heaven who invites you and I to be with him in heaven. We'll learn today and in the following weeks that Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, God wants you in heaven. How many of you want to be in heaven? You want to go to heaven? I said be in heaven. That's like now. Okay, but listen, we raised our hands. We want to go to heaven. We want to be in heaven. Here's the beautiful thing about that. The fact is that God wants you in heaven more than you want to be there. There is great truth in saying that you and I have no idea what we're missing when we talk about heaven. The Bible tells us just enough for us to want to be there. The Bible tells us, in a sense, really, though it mentions heaven a great deal, it tells us very little about the details. And again, we'll learn more about that in a moment. As a counterpoint, by the way, to heaven, what do you think would be the opposite of heaven? I don't think Einstein to figure this out. What's the opposite of heaven? Hell. Very good. And I'm comforted. If you study how many times heaven appears in the Bible, I'm very comforted about the fact that hell is only mentioned 31 times in the Old Testament, 23 times in the New Testament, equaling 54 times. But here's the sobering thing about that. Jesus mentions hell more than any other biblical personality, and justifiably so. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to go to the cross that you and I would escape hell. And Jesus warned about hell more than any other biblical personality. So the first thing that we see today as we look at this is the fact that we're asking this question, what has God said about heaven? And look how I put it in the first point. What has God said about the, and it says heaven or heavens in the brackets, because there's a reason for this. In your note-taking, jot it down. Predominantly, God speaks about three descriptions of the heavens in plural. And so we'll begin in our introduction to look at that. But before we begin to dissect it, keep this in mind. I would like, when I think about the heavens of the Bible, I like to look at it this way, you guys. And if this is a blessing to you, great. If not, just forget about it. But I like to think of it as we get into the study. You're going to come to this announcement from God's word that there is the heaven that is here. Did you know that? The Bible talks about heaven in a word that is here. Oh, Pastor, do you mean heaven on earth? No, that's not what I mean. The Bible refers to as from sea level up to many thousands of feet, even hundreds of miles, there is the heaven that you and I dwell in. Take a deep breath, everybody. Let it out. You just inhaled what the Bible describes as heaven. It describes an atmospheric realm or region. The second one describes that which is up there. That's what I call it. I think of the first heaven as that which is here. The second heaven refers to that which is up there. What do we mean by up there? That would be the things where satellites travel, where the stars are at, where the meteors go by. The Bible describes that region of heaven being the celestial regions of our observable universe. And so that would be the heaven that is up there. And then the Bible talks about the third heaven, and that is the heaven that is out of here. So it's the here, it's the up there, and it's the out of here. Where God is. That's what we're living for as believers, by the way, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're done, to get out of here. That's what we're living for. We can't wait to see Jesus. Where is he? He is there in that heavenly realm. And so, again, the first place that you and I live in is known as the immediate atmosphere or heavens. We would say the atmosphere or the atmospheric exposure of who we are as human beings. The second, the celestial or outer space regions, the sun, the moon, the stars. And then finally, as I said a moment ago, the abode it is referred to, or the dwelling place of God, that world of his. I want to work this in just because I love this bumper sticker. You don't hear it very often, but it's very cool. And I think it applies to the Christian better than anybody. Have you ever seen this sticker? It says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Have you seen it? I like it. I like it. You say, well, isn't it kind of a slam? No, not really, because for the Christian, Listen, the fact is everybody wants to go to heaven. The Christian wants to go to heaven today, but nobody wants to die. And that bumper sticker could only ever become true if the rapture were to happen for the believer. Did you know the Christian who's living at the time of the rapture is the only person that is going to escape death? We should say amen to that. Oh, God, come back. I don't know about you, but I'm not big on dying. I think I'm okay with the actual moment of death. I've watched people die. I've held people in my arms at that last moment. And I can tell you, for the believer, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. And for the spectator like myself, you know, in that last moment when they breathe their last, you are absolutely standing on holy ground. You can sense it. It's awesome. But it's the process getting to that. It's the valley of the shadow of death. That's the part. Listen, those of us who have people, friends, family, members of this church, loved ones who are suffering right now and it will lead to death, they are right now in the valley of the shadow of death. That's something that you don't cross after you die. There's not some tightrope you have to walk after death to make it into heaven and you hope you make it through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh no, that valley of the shadow of death that you will pass through is the suffering that leads to that moment of freedom. The believer is set free at the moment of death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, says the apostle. The moment you close your eyes in this world as a believer, in that very next moment you open your eyes and you see the very throne and the very presence of Christ himself. It is absolutely awesome for the believer. And it is heaven. But when we talk about heaven, we need to know as Christians in this doctrinal series, what do we mean by that? And so as we consider this, mark it down if you would. There is the heaven of the here and now. Can you write that down? There is the heaven of the here and now. And that would be our immediate heavens or our atmosphere that we're talking about. The Bible speaks about what we would say the first heaven as being this. Genesis 1:1. I quoted it a moment ago. And the Bible says, in the beginning, notice, Bible student, God created the heaven and the earth. Immediately you know from the Bible, God, you know, is eternal. He's the creator. So just simple, if it was just written in English and not Hebrew, it's still clear enough. Listen, in the beginning of what? Well, listen, let's play dumb for a second. At this hour of the morning, it's not hard for me to play dumb. In the beginning, well, whatever we're talking about, if God created, then he preempts the beginning. So he's existing before the beginning. So just simple logic demands that whoever he is, he's the originator of what began. So the question becomes for us, when? When did creation happen? Answer, in the beginning. Who's the originator? God. And what did he do? He created the heaven and the earth. And we immediately know that the heaven that God created is not his dwelling place. That's impossible. Because where he is by nature and person and in eternity is the ultimate heaven. So when the Bible talks about that he created heaven, notice it is in the singular, and the earth, of course, here in the singular, what is he announcing? He's announcing that all that is in the heaven and all that is in the earth, God has created. And this is precious to us because as we begin to look at this, it gets really fun. The first thing we realize is that this immediate heaven is Earth's atmosphere, and part of the Earth's atmosphere is this thing that we learn about in school as the troposphere. Many thousands, tens of thousands of feet rising upward, and the troposphere is a host to a lot of cool action. And for example, if you get in an airplane, I wish I had the ability to show you something. I can't exactly, but let me just do this. If you get in an airplane and you take off, you are going to fly in the atmosphere. And if you're going to fly smooth, anybody know? I don't know if some of our airline captains are here today, if they're traveling. But the higher you get in an aircraft, the smoother the atmosphere becomes because you get further away from weather. Okay? And the stratosphere is where you want to fly. But beyond that, there's of the atmosphere, there are five levels that God has created. You say, Jack, who cares? I want you to care, because it's very awesome and technical what God has done for us. And I want to show you, I'm going to show you a picture of these atmospheres, or the division of the atmospheres. Let's look at this first picture. Isn't this glorious? This is an actual photograph taken by the International Space Station of the, what are we looking at? We're looking at the space shuttle. I forget which one it is. It's in my notes. This should be the Endeavour. This is the Endeavour that is silhouetted against the Earth's atmosphere. And in that, again, is the troposphere, the stratosphere, mesosphere. And again, there's five in total. But I know it's kind of hard to look at, but imagine rotating this photograph to the right so that the shuttle is pointing straight up to the top of the screen, or north. You see those bands? Do you see the orange band, by the way? And you can see the various levels. You're looking at aspects of the Earth's atmosphere. All of this created by God and referred to in Scripture. Listen, skeptics of the Bible, unbeliever, leave it on the screen. There are people who think they cannot become a Christian because they've been educated, which I find to be incredibly foolish and self-glorifying. What has really happened to you, if you think you've become so educated that you can't become a Christian, the truth is you've educated yourself beyond your intelligence. That's what's happened to you. You've become a legend in your own mind. The book of Romans says, professing yourself to become wise, you've become a fool. See, well, how can you see? I find that highly insulting this morning. Oh, just listen, calm down. I'm just getting started. Listen, here's the deal. Thousands and thousands of years ago, the Bible tells us and gives us very, very specific scientific description of the very layers of the atmosphere that God has engineered to protect this earth. And he talks about them in various levels. And he mentions them, for example, at the time of creation, even at the time after creation, after the fall, that he speaks about the waters of the atmosphere and the layers. And God's established these things. He speaks about them. The psalmist writes, he speaks about these things. The apostles speak about these things. The prophets speak about these things. And it's not just some religious talk. The very words that are used in the original language of the Bible, predominantly the Hebrew and the Greek, are shocking to those who will make inquiry to find out that the very words that we're mentioning have their root in Scripture. And are you going to tell me today that what we're looking at just happens to be an accident and Sir Isaac Newton's wrong? Are you going to tell me that the great founding fathers of science are wrong, who were believers in God? No. We want to be careful that when we look at what the Bible has to say and what God has created, Christian, take great comfort in knowing that they'll never contradict each other. The author of both cannot fool himself. The creation and the word are one, and they speak in perfect harmony. It's absolutely remarkable. And so as God begins to show us his great word, keep this in mind, that as this shuttle, as we see flying about and transverse, it's a remarkable thing that it leaves the grip of earth and it goes throughout space and comes back home. It's just brilliant. So when you think about that, you know, what travels up there? The shuttle, I wrote down. Of course, the satellites make their way up there. Unfortunately, this week, Kim Jong-un's nuclear ICBMs can travel up there. Just ask Japan this week. Concerns everybody. But we're talking about 100 to 200 miles high. God has established the heavens. That's in Genesis 1. That is the heaven he's talking about. Same with David in Psalm chapter 19. I love this. In Psalm 19, everybody, this is so cool. In Psalm 19, the Bible says this. The heavens, notice now it's plural. The heavens declare the glory of God. What does he mean? We'll march through this together. All that is seen from your nose upward declares the glory of God. Of God, says the Bible. Stop for a moment. Is that not true? Atheist, is it not true? I don't believe in God. But look, do you not, would you not entertain the fact that it is glorious out there? Would you please entertain this challenge that it is exact and finely tuned? That it is so specific and so perfect that, for example, what are we? Earth from the sun, 93 million miles? Mm-hmm. Is that about right? Okay, if we're 5,000 miles or 2,500 miles too close, we burn up. If we're 2,500 miles, less than the distance from here to New York, if we're further out, we freeze to death. When did evolution get that right? How did an accident dial that in just perfect? No, the heavens declare the glory of God, so says the Bible. And the firmament shows his handiwork. What is that all about? When we talk about the firmament, this is precious. It's announcing the fact that what he's woven, the firmament. It's not only the atmosphere in which birds and all traverse, but it is that glorious revelation of God's creative acts in the stellars. But we'll keep going through this verse, but we'll look at these things more. Watch what he says. Day unto day utters speech. According to God in the Bible, I love this, listen, that God's creative heavens speak. You say, no way, you're freaking me out here. Okay, yeah, sort of I am, but check this out. I find it, I should have gotten a picture of this. You can look it up later. Do you know what a radio telescope is? Have you ever seen some of those telescopes that the United States has built in various parts of the world? And do you know what they're doing? SETI is one of them. And do you know, yeah, we spent billions of dollars to listen, it says, for any intelligent life out there. Oh, don't laugh, you paid for it. And we send out a signal and we wait for somebody to answer back. I'm not kidding. Anybody out there?
Real radio. Yeah.
And we wait. We haven't heard anything yet, but we've been waiting for decades, okay? And you can look this up later. There's a scope. You can actually go to the thing and watch the scope if you want to waste time. According to God, the created heavens are speaking.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you can take comfort in the fact that the God who made the heavens can surely take care of you. Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And we would love for you to get your hands on a copy of the DVD set, Who Told You About the End Times? Who Told You About the End Times is Pastor Jack's series that expounds on the doctrine of salvation. And we'd like to get that into your hands for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And get your very own copy of Who Told You About the End Times by Pastor Jack Hibbs for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? You know, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So go check that out at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. It's available right there at our website. You could use our app to get there if you'd like, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. That's every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. Go check that out at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real life programs, special messages and events, intro clips to Christianity, really anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.